It's great to be together with you again today. And once again, we come to the end of the week, and there's a lot that we have discovered about who God is. And as you know, if you've been with me, we are talking about the justice of God. God is just. And in the context of justice, we have this question: if God is just, then why do God's people suffer? Now, this may not be your question, but believe me, a lot of Christians, and even people who are not Christian, have this question. I've heard it a lot. I've been asked this many times, and yes, I personally have asked it. Why? Because I have had to endure suffering. Every one of us, as Christ's people, suffers. We do not suffer the same. In conversation with one another off-air, you might tell me about how you're dealing with some pain, and I might offer you a response something along the lines of, yeah, I am also dealing with heartache. And then I would go on to describe it, and we'd find that while the form of our suffering is different, we are both enduring hardship. As believers, we would listen to one another, comfort one another, and pray for one another. And that one phone call or conversation at a restaurant or coffee shop might well be enough to help get us through another day of suffering. What's so comforting about suffering in the life of the Christian is that we have the Lord and we have one another. No wonder 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another." That is why being in the church is so important and valuable to you. So if you're able, go to church. Be amongst the people of God and experience their love for you. And let me just say that you may be a Christian, but you're lonely. And as you endure a difficulty, you may feel that you have no one to talk to. Maybe you feel nobody cares. Well, I can tell you this. I care. You're listening right now to a guy with a pastor's heart for people. So why don't you write me an email and tell me about what's happening with you? Tell me about what you're going through. I'll offer you my support and prayer. And don't be shy or think he's probably too busy. I offer you my friendship. And my email is mark@markaswallow.com. The Christian life is a life of suffering, and all of Christ's disciples learn this one way or another. And as we wrestle with our suffering, we ask, if God is just, then why do God's people suffer? Thus far, I've given you two reasons, mined from the pages of the Bible. God is just, and the Christian suffers, because suffering makes us more like Christ. That was the first reason. And the second reason is this: God is just, and the Christian suffers because our suffering affirms for us the mercy of God. And we talked about this yesterday. Our suffering should be a lot worse than it is. Yes, that's right. The Christian person's suffering should be a lot worse than it is. It is easy, if we are not careful, to fall into a mode of complaining about the seeming injustices of God, as if there are any. We want to know why we, as a Christ follower, should suffer this or that. Is God being unjust to me? We might think, I have done what he said and put my faith in Jesus, so why do I deserve to suffer? And furthermore, why am I suffering when that person over there, that person who is not a Christian and has no desire to become a Christian, is living a fine and dandy, trouble-free life? We can easily moan and complain and be resentful of God. Yes, we can show resentment to God. But we must always remember this. Whatever suffering we believers endure pales in comparison to what we actually deserve. Because of our sin, we deserve death. But God, who is rich in mercy, has delivered us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved from our sin because of our faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. This is what Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5 says so clearly, and I'll read that. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Do you see my point? It's amazing how this works. When the Christian suffers, we really see with great clarity the mercy of God. Our earthly suffering is not much in light of eternal suffering, which the unbeliever experiences forever in hell. Christians have a momentary suffering, but non-Christians have an eternal suffering. We suffer in the love and compassion and mercy of Christ. They suffer in the wrath, justice, and judgment of God on their sin. God is just, and Christians suffer because our suffering affirms for us the mercy of God. Puritan theologian Thomas Watson has this great line in his book, A Body of Divinity. He writes, quote, "Christians should admire God's mercy rather than complain of his injustice," unquote. That's very true. Christians should admire God's mercy rather than complain of his injustice. I want to encourage you this day, do not look upon your suffering and complain. Rather, look upon your suffering and admire God's mercy. As Sheldon Van Auken, a friend who corresponded with C.S. Lewis, put it, God's mercy is a severe mercy. Indeed, God is just and God is merciful at the same time. And sometimes the way God deals with us can seem severe, but it is done in love. And it is never as severe as what we actually deserve. Remember that. I think this can be a great comfort to the suffering Christian. Well, now I come to my third response to the question, if God is just, then why do his people suffer? And I am not going to spend as long on this one. In fact, I will deal with this one today only. God is just, and Christians suffer, because our suffering makes us totally dependent on God. We cannot rely on ourselves. Suffering has stripped us of our self-reliance, and all we can do is come to God every day and ask for his strength, his grace, and his peace to get us through the day and night. God is just, and Christians suffer because our suffering makes us totally dependent on God. In the second letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, included in our Bibles as 2 Corinthians, he opens chapter 1 with an extensive passage on receiving and living with the comfort of Christ amid suffering. If you are suffering today, read 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Since all believers suffer, Paul certainly suffered. We've talked about this. And here he writes about the comfort he has received amidst his various tribulations. I'll pick up the reading for today in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, and I'll read verses 8 through 10. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 through 10. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. I'll stop the reading there. How comforting indeed. You'll want to have this highlighted in your copy of God's Word. The Apostle Paul is writing about affliction. Do you experience affliction? He says they were burdened excessively. Do you have excessive burdens? He says they were beyond their strength. Are you out of strength? Paul says they despaired even of life. How about you? Do you despair of life? Could it be that you have even thought about ending your own life? Paul even goes so far as to say they suffered as if the sentence of death was within them. Paul thought he was going to die. And perhaps you've thought that you were going to die as you bear the crushing burden of some pain, heartache, and peril. If you or someone you know is suffering today, then you can relate to the Apostle Paul. But look at what he then says beginning in verse 9. He says that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God. Those three words, but in God, are life-changing. Paul says we became totally dependent on God. Totally, completely dependent. We did not trust in ourselves. We shifted. We moved from ourselves to God. There was no way they could bear the burden of suffering in their own strength, just like there isn't any way that we can bear the burden of suffering in our own strength. We need God. We really need God. Now, it can take a while, a long while, before we admit that we need God. I've seen people fight God for a very long time, even as their suffering gets worse and worse. And some people never yield to God. They never humble themselves to ask God to deliver and rescue them. They could be literally on their deathbed fighting against God. Prideful unto death. May that not be so with you and me. May we depend completely on none other than Almighty God. And now listen again to verse 10. This is spectacular. God, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. Who will deliver them through the affliction and from their affliction? God will. Therefore, Paul and his fellow believers have set their hope in God, and that is exactly what God wants. God wants us to put our entire hope in him. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. God is just. And Christians suffer because our suffering makes us totally and completely dependent on God. You know, so much more can be said. In the future on God Is, I will say more about the purposes of God in our suffering. It's such a vast and important topic, and the Bible deals with it extensively. If you doubt me, read the Old Testament book of Job, J-O-B, Job, this weekend. But here is how I respond to the question of, if God is just, then why do his people suffer? God is just, and the Christian suffers, because suffering makes us more like Christ. God is just, and Christians suffer, because our suffering affirms for us the mercy of God. And God is just, and Christians suffer, because our suffering makes us totally dependent on God. And that is what God wants. And so we come to the end of this week looking solely to God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and we put our faith and hope in him, believing that he will deliver us. Think about that this weekend, and then join me again on Monday for God Is.